Bill Murphy Show, Season 2, Episode 13.
It's The Bill Murphy Show, featuring the best in the business and people from all walks of life.
Available by subscription for free on iTunes and at BillMurphyShow.com.
Brought to you by...
And underwriting from Millennium Laser Eye Centers, a local partner and national institution worth the trip from anywhere to beautiful Fort Lauderdale, Florida for your LASIK procedure from Dr. Corey Lesner and his staff. Visit them at havelasik.com. Millennium Laser Eye Centers. You won't believe your eyes.
Here's your host, Bill Murphy.
Back with another episode for Season 2. It's Episode 13, Lucky 13, on this Thursday, August 4th, 2016. This is going to be one of the more fun shows that I've ever done, and it's something I've been wanting to do for a long time, many years, decades, in fact. Co-hosting with me today in a special edition of the Bill Murphy Show, Madman Mike.
What is up?
Now, how great is this?
This is awesome, man.
So wait a minute now.
Taking us back to we're on the other side of the counter with each other outside of the...
Like, it's Saturday evening at 97 GTR, 1987, and I'm on across from the console with you, and we're talking. This is exactly what we wish we could have done. Right?
Especially with the open forum that we have. Yes, I agree.
And the encouraged vulgarity.
We can get fucking nuts. First one dropped. Here we go. Not a minute in.
And we got these fancy microphones. Look, I can do like the extra bass here and like make it sound like Howard Stern's mic or something. I'm going to play around. So Madman Mike joins me for a special Button South Class Reunion 5 edition of the Bill Murphy Show. And we got some special guests. We got some music we're going to play. We're going to talk to some of the key players involved. And basically, and since Mike doesn't have it memorized, we're going to have to pull up some of the information. Everything you need to know about that we're talking about, all the details, the what, where's, why's, and how's
are
all on the Facebook page for the Button South Class Reunion. So here
it's actually the title of the group is Button South Class Reunion 4 or IV. It's our old one, but they wouldn't let us change it over. So we're running on that one, but it is Button South Class Reunion 5.
That's a technicality there.
Oh, crap happens.
Here's what happens on September 23rd and 24th, Revolution Live, 100 Southwest 3rd Avenue, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I was going to say as if you needed to know where Revolution Live is, but a lot of people coming from out of town for this.
And so. I would hope so.
And the lineup is, Mike?
Race, Stranger, Heartless, Gypsy Queen, Motor, Canaveral, John Wesley of Porcupine Tree with members of Auto Drive, Phineas J. Whoopi, Charlie Pickett and the Eggs, and two nights of an all-star jam, Button South all-star jam. Obviously, we couldn't get every band back together for this one, so other guys are coming in, and they're going to be part of the all-star jam.
Now, this show is custom-made for a fine group of people. How many followers on the Button South?
10,000 plus.
And you all know what we're talking about. For those of you, though, that have been listening to the Bill Murphy Show, just lovers of music and don't know what this is all about, the Button South, the short version of the story is one of the finest rock club to ever exist in South Florida from 1983 until 1993-ish.
Something like that.
Some of the best live music you've ever seen. It was even an Agora Ballroom before that, so it's an even more historic room than just the Button South. Great live music there and a very close-knit group of friends that has stayed together and in touch since then, you know, even
Agreed.
At a distance. And Agreed. We all have been getting together. We got together for a reunion and it was so good. We're doing it again and again and again and again. So this is the fifth and final
one.
This
is it. This is last call. This is going to be the last two-night event with 10 bands, 5 bands on each night and the All-Star Jam. And it's just going to be a collaboration of getting everybody together from those days, both musically and friends and family. And like you said, it's a tight-knit group.
And may I just also say, for anyone also completely unfamiliar with the Button South, never went there, never heard of it, you're listening to this, you hear some of the music, and you're just curious about it, we'd love you to join us. I must say, it is at the top of the list of the greatest people-watching things you could possibly do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even the reunion is going to be one of the...
Of course. This one, yeah, they're all just to sit, stand in the corner or stand against the wall somewhere if you're a total stranger and just watch these characters that come in. They're all from all over the place and all walks of life. Literally.
All crawls of life.
All different kinds of walks. And to make things sort of clear, my history with the Button South is more on the early side of it. The Button South really, really got cool music-wise. Well, each era of the Button South has its fair share.
Right. It had its separation. But more of the Johnny Depp early days.
Right.
When this particular era, leading into the Button South.
This particular era coincided with, you know, the Seattle growth, all of that. When grunge started up, these bands were transforming from the hair metal days to the grunge days and making that transformation. And a lot of music fell in between there. That was great.
This, to me, that era was the peak, not only from the Button South, but from every place, from the Bowery and West Palm. I mean, there were locations everywhere where live music was just thriving. There was never a downtime.
Right. There were four or five really great stops that a band could make in Florida, making the trip down into Florida worth the while.
Right.
Because of the extra travel. But you could stop in Tampa and St. Petersburg and down here and even in Miami and then up in Boynton and Delray.
Well, you know, like Living Color played
right.
the Button South when they were first coming around. And there were a lot of bands like that played the smaller clubs first coming out, and Button South was the place to see them.
We're going to share some music. We're going to talk to a few key members of a few bands, and speaking of that, on the phone with us right now, joining us, the one, the only, I need some introduction music for him here. I got to do something. Hang on one second there, Tommy. I got to do something here for a second. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Bill Murphy Show from somewhere in beautiful South Florida, the one and only Tommy Vincent.
Tommy V.
The weather outside is frightening.
Right, isn't it?
What's up, fellas?
Let it snow.
Here in South Florida.
Hey, it's South Florida, man. South Florida. Here.
In South Florida, we sing The Weather Outside is Frightening in August.
Exactly, fellas. Man, I'll tell you what. I am so excited. First of all, I'm just listening to you guys talk, and I'm telling you, it is bringing back memories that I just... I am so proud and so honored to be a part of it. I'm proud and honored to say that I have played the Button South. I am proud and honored to say that I would live through it, and I'm still here, and I'm looking for it's exactly bringing, Mike.
I'll tell you what it's bringing back memories of. It's bringing back memories for Tommy of Mike breaking format in the middle of the night and playing whatever he wants. Here's some music from my friends, Heartless. It's 3:30 in the morning. Nobody knows. Nobody's going to know I did this.
Oh, my God, man. I'll tell you.
Tommy, just relax. Let's listen to a little bit of this and just remember back to the days when you heard yourself on the radio.
Right? Yeah.
Hell yeah, man.
All right, now I know we have a lot of laughs to have together, the three of us. But I just want to do.
First of all, hang on, girls. Okay, you could come off the poles now. Put your clothes back on because we have a little bit of break. Okay, ladies.
I think I
had to get the girls off the poles.
I think I've sent you a video of that, Tommy. I think I've actually sent you a video.
I brought it up.
Crystal to the main stage, Crystal.
Crystal featuring
Tommy
Fight the Bullet.
Jaguar, Porsche.
Guys, dare I get serious for just 1 minute here? I just
want to try.
Man, Billy, why, try, bro.
Tommy, semi-serious. You listen to that song, okay. And you know we've got the headphones on in the studio here, so we're getting it really clear. I know you're hearing it over the phone, but you heard it a million times.
Fine.
But when you really think about it and you immerse yourself in that particular song, that mix... That song has the Button South sound. I mean, it actually, that's the Button South sound on a record right there.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
I mean, listen, that was the greatest. We're all somewhat in our, you know, later 20s and 30s now.
Yeah. 29 forever, right.
Yes, exactly. And you know, I remember in those days, you were serious about music. And I'm not taking away from anything nowadays, you know, because there are still elements of people that get it and got it from our era that are still doing it today. But let's face it, if you didn't have your shit together, and I'm talking about every aspect of you didn't see what we saw. You weren't privileged to play the button. You weren't privileged to know what it was to be in the 80s playing that music.
Not to mention, especially at the button, when you had like a full sound and you had a full stage and you had the lights and, you know. Man.
And also, on another note from that time, and you touched on it, the work. You guys didn't have Facebook. You didn't have all these fan pages and cell phones and everything. Yeah. You guys were making flyers and putting them on cards, and you loved it. And you did well because the band went out and they cared and they did it.
We did it the old-fashioned way, man. I mean, nowadays...
We earned it.
Nothing against now, but I mean, then, okay, you seriously had to go out and perform, all right? And then you
is there an airstrike going on outside your house right now?
I just heard,
That's Air Force One landing.
Oh, gotcha. Trump's plane is landing,
I have a tour. I have a tour waiting later.
Bruce Dickinson's flying the Iron Maiden jet over to his house to pick him up.
Exactly. So anyway, it's like, you know, today, all right, in today's, let's just say, you know, society. Circuit, all right? You have to go out and you have to play your 3 to 4 sets of material, and it's like you play this mishmash of music, and clearly every time you go back to an 80s, 90s song, that's what works. You have out there that want to hear that music.
Timeless music that has passed the test of time more than any era. The shows that we saw at the Button South, man, aside from you guys. Oh.
I remember being there and seeing Steve Vai. And I was just, oh, man.
Wow.
I saw so many concerts at that place.
Yeah.
Yngwie Malmsteen, Steve Vai. We played there with Dawkins. We were fortunate enough to be on the bill the night that Saigon Kick got signed.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
We played with them. We also were showcasing that night. And I was there, and I saw the Button South from a whole nother angle. And I'll tell you this, fellas, if Heartless was fortunate enough to play the United States, we played Chicago, we played New York City, we played Los Angeles, we played the Whiskey A Go Go,
we played Rocklahoma.
We played Rocklahoma, and I'll tell you what, and I will say this now, I personally have never played a club as great as the Button
Come
South.
Come on.
Nah, man.
Hands down.
No,
amen,
believe it or not,
man.
It's a lot more than the club and the sound system and everything else. It's the love. It's the... Oh. I mean, there's... How many fights and incidents do you remember working and playing and hanging at
the
Button
South?
You know
what? You're right. I don't remember.
How many times? I don't remember the cops ever being there.
No, I don't.
They were always outside and hanging out.
The only time the cops were there was to come and get me.
Really?
Once.
No,
but... you know, that's absolutely right, Mike. It was just, you know...
it was a love fest,
didn't have
man.
That.
Right.
No, it wasn't.
You guys are
really
both.
Wasn't.
You guys are both going... Wow, Billy got arrested there? I wonder what happened.
No, we'll get it out of you before the end of the show. We'll have some.
My favorite scary...
Billy, I swear to God, I told you she was only 18. Come on, man.
I will share one scary story about with Mike and I. I do believe you were sitting next to me in the van the night we stole the 97 GTR van and pulled into the Button South and got struck by a car full of girls that were following us there.
Right, yep.
Yeah, they were following you, all right.
No, they followed. Seriously, they followed. No, these girls literally followed us there and parked in the space next to us and didn't quite cut in nice enough and scraped against the side of the van.
Right, yeah, that's right. And we weren't supposed to have the van out.
We weren't supposed to have it.
Michael Johnson is legendary across the whole state. So let's call it spade a spade. We all know that Michael Mark is well endowed, and that's why they're all following
him. No. Let us retract
they
that.
They were following you.
Let us retract that statement.
They knew that they could see it.
Let us retract that statement.
Mike just said let him retract it. He's retracting it right now.
See that, Billy? Yeah, he can't even stop the cliches.
He has to retract.
God.
He's got to retract it to keep things fair. You know, that's
Kong,
the deal.
Kong saw his due share of some kinky acts in the back of the GTR van. I will admit to that, but I don't think anybody was, I don't think anybody was following it because my schlong was sticking out the back. That was the Kong. That was the blow up animal we had in the back of the truck. Which for people who are listening to have no idea what the hell we're talking about.
We know, Mike. Right.
So you've been practicing real hard, Tommy. You ready for this gig?
Are you kidding me, man? First of all, the nice part about all of the boys from Heartless nowadays is we're all in groups.
Right.
We're
right.
all in our respective, you know, different cities, playing with our respective little cover bands.
Who is I love the way you say that, though, Tommy. I got to say, hold on. I love the way you say that. Our little cover bands. We're just doing our shit, playing our songs. Yeah. You're going to be rocking.
You know what's funny? I mean, nowadays, let's face it. Back then, and Mike, you guys touched on it in the beginning, your beginning opening line. You had clubs, the Bowery,
right.
the Button.
Right.
You had clubs
plus
in
five,
Tampa, Orlando,
Rosebuds, yeah.
the Pluses.
Metro 107.
Right. Those weren't like today's clubs. Today's clubs, it's like you have to keep the volume down
yep,
so Mr. No. Smith
can
eat his fucking,
I hear you.
You know, his extra rare prime rib.
Right.
And, you know, he wants a side of horseradish, so you can't play. We're playing restaurants.
Yep, it's right. absolutely
we're
true.
We're not playing clubs.
So, wait, not to shift the subject too drastically, but who is the singer on that song? Guy's got a sexy voice. The one we played.
Me?
The one we played.
Hang on,
bro.
The one
bro.
And only Mr. Jimmy Robinette.
Hey!
Many have tried and many have died, but Robinette will never be denied.
Dude, I'll tell you, I went and saw him play the other night. I went and saw him, I think it was at Coconut Creek or maybe it was at Johnny Brown's because he's there all the time. But he's still fucking got it, though, man.
The guys, listen, I mean, you can say what you want about him. I've known him now 30-plus years. The guy is just a motherfucker.
I know,
when
man.
When he really, really wants to play. Can I say motherfucker?
You just did.
Okay, when the guy wants to turn it on, and this is the thing, all right? I'm going to say this now. We all know this is the fifth and final button.
Right.
We are prepared this time no holes barred.
Yes, yes.
We have been talking about it. We have been preparing for it. We have rehearsed it. We have been just the
awesome.
Five of us, all original members, are going to be there. And
yeah, let's send a shout out to the guys, Dean DiMaggio, Bill Weber, Christian Hamlet, and you guys.
Oh, us guys, yeah.
And
Jimmy, man, I tell you what, it's... It's a shame that the era had to end.
No,
because,
I know,
you
man.
Know, we it never dies, really. I mean, like you guys said, how many members are following the Button Sound?
No, right. 10,000. But, I mean, even if it was 5,000 of people that are still alive, we've lost so many through the years. It's just...
Please, I didn't want to talk about that.
No. But, I mean, it's just yeah. incredible that... And, you know, we're still a family, and we are a family.
Yeah.
It's a lot, more than, a lot more than people realize. It's not just... You know, support, and we go out and support each other and seeing each other. We hang out together.
And it's not a competition thing.
No, not at all.
I mean,
nobody's better than anybody else.
I can't wait to see the Canaveral boys. I can't wait to see the Race boys. I can't
awesome.
Wait to see
Stranger.
The Gypsy Queen folks. Stranger, my God, Greg Billings, I love
speaking
him.
Of which,
you know,
were you aware, I mean, we told Robinette this, but were you aware that Stranger specifically requested that they play before you guys, that they, like, open
hell
for
yeah,
you guys?
Dude, yeah. Well, that's one of the special things we got. We had a little surprise thing going on for everybody.
Well, I'm sorry if I blew the surprise.
Stranger Heartless.
Oh, nice. Oh.
Perfect
you
tease, you guys.
Right. Yeah,
we won't tell anybody, we promise.
But, I mean, you know, so that's the thing. I mean, there's no, at this point, we're not all fighting for a record contract. We're now fighting to just have fun.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, you know, like with the All-Star Band last year, I mean, I remember being up there with Phil Verone from Saigon.
Right.
Tom Defile from Saigon.
Right.
You know, John Wesley. I love
yeah.
Wesley,
oh,
man.
Me too,
that
man.
Guy from Auto Drive.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just great.
I couldn't think of a better voice to represent this whole thing that's going on than having Tommy Vincent. On here, he really like he speaks it with the tone of everybody that was there. You still have that energy you did when you were 24. You know.
By the way, is it today or was it yesterday? Yesterday was your birthday.
Yeah, yesterday was my birthday. birthday. I'm 29, fellas.
Again.
29 again. Beautiful.
29 again. And I got to say one thing. Last night, with the exception of both you guys not being there, it was an absolute mind blow for
me.
I mean, the people that came out from the Button era, the people that
didn't
know me.
Adrian.
Oh, Darlene and Adrian. Those two are just like, I mean, you know, I will go down, you know, when I take my finals, I will have memories of those two and those times, because for me, there was no better. I mean, you know, I'll say it now, I'll say it again, I'll say it then, I'll say it till I'm fucking blue in the face. You know, long live rock and roll, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, from Ronnie James Dio to, you know, the list just goes on and on, the ones that have paved the road before us and that are not here no more, but their music lives. I listened to the Mob Rules today.
There you go.
Don't ask me why, but I was
If you're going to listen to classic,
The Mob Rules. I don't even know why, man, but I was just blasting that in my headphones. And I was just, you know, loving that whole vibe, you know?
Yep.
And here we are, you know, 2016.
19.
You know, yeah. 19.
Tommy, that was 17 years ago, man.
Okay. There's a little decimal point error. It's like, thanks to guys like you that made this happen for us.
Yeah.
With the radio stations, what your commitment to
doing
things that, you know, for us.
Thanks, man.
You know, I mean, because let's face it, you know, we were up there doing our thing, but if we didn't have guys like you behind us, well, what would it have been? There would have been nothing.
Thanks,
been
man. No, you never know. We might try to do it again sometime.
Right,
you never
on,
know.
Man. Without a doubt.
Fucking A, right on.
We'll see you in September, and I'm sure I'll see you before then, man.
Oh, hell, I look forward to it, my friend.
Tommy, thanks so much for representing and coming on the show with us, man. We're going to move on and talk to some more.
Tommy V of Heartless. Tommy Vincent of Heartless. Remember that. Look him up online. Check out Heartless all over.
Fellas, I love you all. I'll see everybody on the 23rd and the 24th of September. The Button South lives.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you, Tommy. See you later, buddy.
Fellas, good night.
Good night. The one and only Tommy V.
Awesome.
And the other band he's playing with now, I forgot to ask him before we hung up with.
I don't even know who he's playing with right now. He's been moving around.
All right, so we will see Tommy, which, Friday or Saturday night?
He's playing Friday night. Correct.
And that would be, what's the specific time here? Heartless is 11 o'clock on Friday night. Okay, there we go. So here's the lineup. So I'm not going to even bother saying the times because you know all that stuff's going to shift around. Phineas J. Whoopi, Charlie Pickett and the Eggs, Stranger, Heartless, John Wesley with members of Auto Drive, and then the Button South All-Star Jam. That's Friday night in that order. Saturday night is Motor, Canaveral, Gypsy Queen, Race, and another all-star band, Jam. So that is advance tickets only. What? How is it? Tickets
$15.
Yeah,
for both nights.
Yeah,
$15 for both nights. Not $15 per night. It's $15 for both
or $10 per night.
Yeah,
if so you can only go one of the nights.
$7.50 for five bands each night. Race hasn't played since 91, so this will be 25 years since these five guys have got on stage, just for that alone to pay $7.50, you know. John Wesley doesn't play out solo all that often. He's getting ready to go on tour with Marillion.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah, he's going to be the opener for Marillion coming up in October, and he's coming with a couple of guys from Auto Drive, another great band from the Button South days. You know, Gypsy Queen is going to be a tough run. It's going to be awesome to see Paula up on stage without Pamela, but this will be the first time they've played together since Pamela passed away.
Wow, that's a big moment for them.
Right. It's going to be a pretty awesome night of rock and roll and memories and just... And then the other guys that me and you are co-hosting with, the other guys and gal, hopefully.
Steve Stantz will be there, Liz Wild, Glenn Richards, Madman Mike, who's beside me now, and myself, Bill Murphy. We will be rotating around, kind of showing up here and there. I don't even know if I'm going to be... I'll probably be there for a little bit of both nights.
There you go.
I'm not doing
dedicating full night.
I can't do
that. Well, but look, if you look, we're starting the times earlier. I mean, we're starting and we're ending a lot earlier. It's not going to be the late, you know, last time we did it 2 years ago, I think Heartless went on.
I'm only going to get one late night out of me, boys. That's it. One of them's going to be a late night. One of them's not going to be that late at night.
I'm getting a hotel room right down the street. So if you need to crash.
Oh, there you go. I don't know. Can't do two late nights in a row anymore. That's just, it seems to be the first thing that goes. Oh, look at this. The studio phone is ringing, and just make sure I'm good here.
Are you good there?
Hello?
Hello, are you good there?
Is this Mark?
It could be. It is indeed, sir. Is this William?
Yes, it is.
Is it William?
William and Michael.
Hello, William.
William and Michael, how are you?
Great, fellas. What's happening?
What's happening, my brother?
Another beautiful evening at the ranch here.
Yeah, I know, man. I wish I was out on the West Coast. I hear it's nice out there right now.
Whereabouts in the West Coast are you there, Mark?
I'm living right in the shores of St. Pete Beach.
St. Pete Beach.
It's stunning. We had a bunch of rain the last couple weeks, but
it's
coming to an end. Yeah, it's, believe me, even a rainy day here is pretty awesome.
Didn't you say you were traveling up to Tarpon? Tarpon and St. Pete aren't all that close.
A little
bit of a hike.
Yes, I was. I went up to Tarpon today to take care of some family business. But,
gotcha.
Home is St. Pete Beach. If you've ever been here, it's the very south point of Pinellas County up here.
Right.
And there's a historical landmark called the Don Cesar.
Okay, guys, listen, I'm cutting in right here. Just going to tell you, since Mark got on the phone, it's been like a one big bummer. We're all talking like real low. It's starting to sound like an NPR show or something here. We just had Tommy Vincent on. Let's do this all over again. I'm going to bring Mark in by doing this. Ladies and gentlemen.
It's called Cruising for a Bruiser!
I was just getting to the 20 ball, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the phone of the Bill Murphy Show for the Button South Class Reunion 4. See how I'm getting the snare hits in the middle there?
I'm pretty confused,
too. Mark Allen on the phone. There he is. You remember that
what's
moment?
Up? Say, what's up?
What's up?
You remember that moment there that we just played?
I vaguely.
Depends on what set of brain cells he's functioning on today.
That was a big party.
It was pollution, yes.
Yeah.
Pollution to the brain, for God's sake. What's up, guys?
I was just
getting to the sweaty balls part. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, the sweaty balls. Tell us about your sweaty balls.
Nice. Yeah, man, what's happening up there, fellas?
We were just grabbing. We just got off the phone with Tommy Vincent, and we were just talking about the vibe of the Button South and what the, you know, obviously the reason we're doing this whole podcast thing and putting everybody on together is because we're trying to promote the Button South Class Reunion 5. And we were just talking about history at the Button South.
You know, we played a Heartless song. The one they recorded was Bite the Bullet, right? And we were playing it with Tommy on the phone and we listened to it. I was just listening to like the mix of that song and it was funny. I told Tommy right away, it's like that record sounds like the Button South. Like the Button South developed this whole aura and this, you know, vibe and feeling that when guys that played there a lot went into the studio, they sort of got that sound, you know?
It's funny you say that. We were listening to some videotapes today of live recordings and it's exactly that. I don't know what that sound was, but it was very uniquely.
Right, but that's it. There's no description. There's no way to define it verbally. You either hear it or you don't get it. It's one or the other. There is no description to it.
I mean, the last record we did, the One Hand on the Wheel thing, unfortunately, we wish we would have recorded it at the Button South because it turned out sounding like Dookie when we recorded it.
Really?
But every time we played it live, it was exactly what we wanted to hear.
Right.
The way we wanted to hear.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We recorded everything, for God's sake.
Did anybody ever sound really bad at the Button South?
You know what?
Let's be honest, guys. Yes, come on. There's been times.
I mean, but you don't hear many stories. Generally speaking, you don't hear people say, "Yeah, I was at that show at the Button South, man, and the sound was freaking awful."
No, the band.
You don't hear that.
No, you're right. The sound wasn't bad. The band was bad. If it was bad, it
no,
wasn't
I know that's what I mean.
But there were never any bad bands at the Button South. Come on.
it wasn't that perfect of a place.
Well, you know, thanks to the wondrous abilities of Billy Carbone back in the day.
Oh my God.
You know.
Billy, there were several. Billy Carbone, right. Jan, Paul Kirk,
Nick.
Some time there.
You guys don't even remember
Nick.
Griff, the original
Griff,
guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Hell
Griff,
yeah.
No joke.
We were talking about being blessed with some of the best, and these are the guys that are, some of these guys are still out there touring. For
no, I know, yeah.
Don't forget Bob
Bluedow. Yeah, absolutely, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you know
Mr.
what's
personality.
And you know what's strange if you think about it is not only are those guys working, but you're like, you know, you're working, you're playing, you're out there.
It's a disease. It's an awful ailment. I'm here to tell you guys.
It's funny because the generation before us didn't do that. The guys, I know of, the guys that were in bands in their 20s weren't still in bands in their 50s like before this generation was, right?
No, not that I know of. In fact,
good drugs.
The funny thing is, the guys that came before us, there's still a few out there.
No. That's true. I shouldn't say that. There's still guys from the 60s that are still playing, right?
Jimmy Fiano
comes to mind.
Jimmy Fiano. He was before us. And he's still out there kicking ass, man. God bless him.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's not that much older than us, is he?
Excuse me? You're not?
Jimmy, I'm talking about.
Oh, I'm Jimmy Fiano, though. Jimmy was, I don't know if he's older than us, but he definitely played before we did. He was like a staple at the Agora, for God's sake.
I mean, let's face it, you guys alone are kids compared to me anyway. I'm from the old school Button South crowd. You guys are all Johnny Come Lately's.
We started at the Button. That's how we got invited to the Button show.
Oh, really? Yeah, right on.
Give me a break. Listen, I was 14, but hey, it was all good.
Yeah. And you're 29 now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Again, there was nothing quite like what that was, though. Am I right? It was the most dangerous place that we didn't know was dangerous.
But you know what? It's funny because I was just bringing this up with Billy beforehand. As dangerous as it was and as much as excitement, I mean, let's be realistic about what that era was. There was a lot of drugs. There was a lot of stuff going on, a lot of sex, and sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It was the personification of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But Mark, you have to admit, do you ever remember there being an incident at the Button South? Do you ever remember there were like mass cops showing up? I mean, other than somebody falling and an ambulance showing up, there was never really trouble at the Button South.
Unless Race was playing late. and we controlled chaos.
Skippy on his way out the door.
To share some stuff with the people that are outside of the Button South reunion, people that listen to the show and they're just curious about this music. Okay, so a typical a Friday and Saturday night, and I'm sure it was the same later when you guys were hanging out there too. But okay, so a typical Friday, Saturday night in 1983 would have been two bands, and you would have one band start the night, play two sets, then you would have another band play one set. Then you'd have the other band that started play one set, and then the second band finish off the night with two.
Two sets, correct.
Yeah. And the infamous 2112, yes.
2112, yes. All right, okay.
That's
what I was getting at. And you
guys, Russ reference.
And you would go figure.
I wonder who came up with that. Michael must have set the schedule. that's a grueling weekend. And then if you played, if your two bands playing Friday and Saturday night, you guys would switch those roles on those two nights.
Because normally,
and Figment would play, and then we'd do Friday. We'd start Friday, and then they'd start on Saturday.
Right. Yeah, but normally, weren't you guys like in the room? Like, wasn't one of the bands already there for like Thursday, doing Thursday or Wednesday?
We never did. We only did Fridays and Saturdays. So
that's the same here. Yeah. But again, fortunate or not, but it was a thing though too. Sometimes it wasn't even who was playing. You just knew when you went there.
That's the other thing about back in those days is that if a band played somewhere on the weekend, they were there for the weekend.
Right.
You know, most bands like when they played the Bowery and stuff, you set up on
you take up residence
night.
For the weekend.
Right. Yeah.
That was still going on less than 10 years ago. We used to do that at Lulu's on the beach and stuff. We just play Friday and Saturday. Right. Now nobody does it. Mark, I can remember specifically one night, and this is a microcosm of what the Button South is. It's sort of a description of it. Friday night, I'm driving in my car down 95 to go hang out at the Button South. I wasn't even working that night, and you were there, I know that, and you guys were playing, and I literally was listening to the Night Ranger cassette in my car at the time, singing Sing Me Away at the top of my lungs. And I walk in the place, and not 2 minutes later, I hear the intro, and I go, oh my God, Mark, give me the microphone. And it's like one of those places where it's like, I can take the mic from this guy right now, and I'm going to go up and sing this song. Yeah. And that's how it was. And it was any number of guys that did that with each other. You know, it was fantastic stuff.
Well, that was the thing too, man. I mean, if we knew you, there was a good camaraderie amongst the band.
Right.
I mean, don't get us wrong. There was fierce competition, we're better lined up. But we understood each other. And if you were in the house and you wanted to jam with the band, it wasn't even a question. You were a regular guest with us, Bill.
No, I felt very lucky to do that. I was like, oh, they're playing. You know, it's like I get to, so my band wasn't playing as often, but I got it. I was like, at least I can get up and get my thrills out with these guys. You guys are welcome for the visual of me driving down 95 singing Night Ranger, by the way.
Thanks.
I have a picture, I believe. I have a picture of you singing with these guys at the Louie Parade, the first Louie Parade.
Outdoors.
In Fort Lauderdale.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, downtown Lauderdale.
A lot of fun, man.
Yes. Yeah. The actual event was wonderful. That was one of those amazing wardrobe faux pas for us, too. I remember that.
Let's do a quick shout-out to everybody in the band, obviously, and the history of race in general. You got you got Mr. Jerry Sens.
Why don't we make Mark give us like a nice little biographical description of each guy, real short. Like, tell us a little bit about from Mark's point of view. Put him on the spot. So you do like a little profile. So Michael will say the name, and you go, a warm-hearted individual that blah blah blah, you know, or whatever it is.
Hold on. You're making me do this.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Of course,
you have to understand that Mark and I have been on the phone back and forth a couple of times.
Okay,
this is not an easy task, putting these five guys in one room together. It's not. It's just plain and simple.
I would think it's sort of the same for almost all the bands.
Well, but I'm just saying, these guys haven't gotten together in 25 years. It's kind of tough to just tell everybody, all right, here's a deal, show up, you know, here's a
set. So that's the story within the story there. Okay.
I'm not saying, pulling people from different hemispheres.
Right. No, he is. Absolutely, man. Okay. Jerry's coming from Brazil. So, all right. So, first of all, of course, your partner in crime, fellow songwriter and great guitar player, Jerry Sens.
Frighteningly evil genius.
Oh, interesting. Right on.
And incredibly evil. No. Genius. Sorry, did I say genius?
By the way, you can curse on this show. I'm
an
just
evil
letting you know.
That's encouraged. An evil genius with an emphasis on the evil.
Evil, right. Okay.
I'm just saying. We all had our moments.
Oh, no, but he is genius, man. Songs are a killer.
Songwriter killer, yeah.
Brad Skippy Izor.
Clinically insane.
Yeah,
there's no way to really put it on the other except for clinically insane, but what do you say, functional?
Right,
functional.
You know, functional.
You know, not without meds, really.
He's functional. Yeah.
All right, the one and only Robert Bob Roland, your drummer.
Bob Roland. What do you say? Remember the professor from Gilligan's Island?
Yeah,
he's probably the smartest guy in the room.
Right.
Nobody ever really knew.
Right.
That's Bob.
No, that's a good analogy. I agree with that.
But the thing is, Bob, if you ask Bob, he'll tell you.
And last but certainly not least, besides yourself, Howie Hughes, bass player, my bro.
I have to say, and again, besides being an excellent musician, one of the best human beings I've ever had the pleasure of hanging around with.
Awesome.
So that sounds like pandering there, but I think this is a great person.
The things
that he's gone through and the things he did to join our band were amazing.
Well, it's funny because he just told that story to his son for the first time last year. He just told the story of how he got. Yeah, I mean, it just never came up in conversation. You know that Sean, his son, was a big fan of the band, but obviously he was too young to really appreciate it. And now that he's a music fan, he was like, oh, I want to know everything about it. I want to see videos of my dad. And he had never seen Howie play in the race band until last year, until I brought up all the videos and showed it to him.
Wow.
Well, I can tell you that I met him through a girl that made clothing for me out of Tampa. I met him through her. He was a guy who was sleeping on somebody's couch up there, just came down from Canada because he wanted to rock, and this was the area.
Right on.
And it was in Tampa, and she said, you got to meet this guy, and so we're going back to Lauderdale tomorrow, and so she called me when I got back, and she said, this is the guy for your band, I just know it, la la la, and we conversed, and I remember that we were playing at Summers on the Beach, and we were using different bass players, and this guy on break walks up, and he's wearing a long spandex, like, zebra jacket, pants that were way too tight for him, and I had to tell him, dude, next time wear the
potato. I remember.
Well, I'm just saying, wear the potato in the front, you know. And
stick a sock in it, would you?
And we looked at this guy and said, man, if he just holds a bass, that's the guy for us. It was good stuff.
Right.
And he ended up being the best guy. He was a good roommate to me for a long time.
Right on.
So that's a longer explanation of Howie that anybody needs to hear.
But you know what? He's a friend. He like you and like everybody else. And one of the things that we were mentioning to Tommy when we were talking is the fact that we're family. And what's great about the Button South environment is that we are family. We literally have each other's backs through thick and thin, through music, non-music, life in general. You know, kids being born, friends of ours passing away, and everything else we're still connected. And I think that's what people who come to the reunion, perform at the reunion, or even just people that are showing up as friends of the reunion are that's what they'll get, is they'll get that warmth. And that's what the Button South was all about.
It's one of the best things about the reunion too. I've been to two.
Right.
Once as a performer and once as a host, and my goodness, how awesome. There's just not enough time.
Right.
There's not enough time, you know, but then, you know, there's also personal and family responsibilities to take care of. So you just want to sink into it and live it.
Yeah, man.
And do that. Even though that 4 in the morning stuff can kiss my ass.
Right, yeah, 4, 5, 6,
6,
6
in the morning.
6 in the morning. 6 in the morning, Denny's.
I totally get it. Sun being out when you leave? No.
Didn't you guys go to Nick's down the street? for breakfast sometimes?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
still there.
Are
the place
buying?
Is still there.
Is it really? Are you buying?
I'm telling the man.
No, you used to go. The key is when you DJ there, you hang around and go to Nick's with bartenders because they got a pocket full of cash.
Right, yeah.
So they're always buying the breakfast.
Sure, no, yeah, right on.
Yeah. Poor DJ has to wait for his paycheck, so, you know, they'll buy you a breakfast. So.
Well, your bartenders are the ones that were feeding you Jack Daniels and Budweiser
it's
all
true.
Night anyway. So.
Yeah, that's true.
They were so good to us. I hate their guts.
Oh, no, your guts hate them is what you're trying to say. Your guts now hate them, yeah.
I feel very fortunate to have been part of that thing.
Right.
It's in other parts of the country, it's legendary these days. When I go to Europe from time to time, when we used to go to Europe, they knew about that scene, which
right.
is, you know, to us, of course, we thought it was the greatest thing ever. We tried to have perspective, thinking, well, we hear about L.A., we hear about New York. But that thing was, there was something going on there at the time. And the Button South was right at the epicenter.
That's so funny because basically just that confirms it. Because he basically, you know, he didn't hear Tommy when he was on before. Tommy said the same exact thing, you know. And you guys played all over the country and the conversation always came up. Oh, yeah, I know that place.
Yeah, right.
So. Yeah, there were two or three, but that was definitely one right. in the conversation.
Yeah, man. Any surprises coming up in the show, in the reunion? Anything you want to tease? Anything you want to...
We can tell you that there's a good chance you'll hear some new race music.
Wow.
No way.
What? Yeah, done. And we might just blow some shit up.
One more quick question for you. If I were to suggest a song that you do, because hopefully you're going to play a cover tune or two, because you guys were killer at that. If I were to suggest a tune, what tune did you think I would be suggesting?
Well, I think that if it wasn't Spirit of the Radio, it wouldn't be anything.
Oh, well, guess what? You'd be wrong.
Would I really?
I would be. You would be, absolutely.
Oh, you would be?
No. I was speaking with Howie about it yesterday. Highway Star would definitely be my, you guys, that was one of the songs when you guys first played the Keg and Can and I was working at the Keg and Can and you guys played that song. I was like, oh my freaking God.
Yeah.
You know?
It could happen.
All right. Well, just things. Just,
no, no.
Put my two cents in among friends. That's all. So.
Excellent. I missed that one by a mile.
Well, no, I figured it would throw you for a loop, so that's why I'd ask. So, I mean, obviously, Spirit of Radio, I will not be disappointed whatsoever, but that was my
suggestion. I want to hear
it. Are you going to sing with us?
No. I'm not going to get step on you. You guys are playing the first time together in 24 years. You're going to waste 5 of those minutes with Bill Murphy on stage? Are you kidding me? No, that's
well,
not
who
happening.
Well, who knows what goes down to the All-Star Jam this year, because we really want to make it, like, you know, obviously fifth and final, we want to make it happen, so.
So, yeah, no, you guys do your thing. You guys get in the sandbox and play with each other the whole time. That's going to be great. I want to hear Mark do this again. Hold on.
It's called Cruising for a Bruiser!
What the hell's wrong with you guys?
That's excellent. Thanks so much for joining us, man. It's very, very cool of you to do that.
My pleasure, man.
Let's listen to a little bit of this, shall we? We talked all over it before. Come on, let's relive this moment for a couple of seconds here.
Awesome.
Certainly had a distinct drum sound that room did.
Yeah.
You definitely still hear that on that recording. Got courtesy of Ken Maxwell's video camcorder microphone,
I believe. So. Yeah, correct.
So
yeah.
We're thinking maybe camcorder, maybe Hi-8. Is it possible? What was he probably using back then?
It was VHS. VHS, man.
Yeah,
it was the big box recorder, man.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's really weird is I was talking about this the other day, is technology in general is just amazing, man. I mean, who would have thought when you guys released One Hand on the Wheel, it was an album, it was a cassette, It was, you know, we broke right. format. We broke format at GTR to play it on the custom or the Sunday Night Six Pack.
Yep.
And
right.
and then it just never came out on CD because CD oh. was it never came out.
So you
on
did
CD.
It on the six pack without playing a CD.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, we broke format.
So we weren't the all compact disc radio station.
Night. Not that night. No, no, absolutely not, man.
Wow.
I mean, there was a high demand for it. We were literally the station was getting bombarded with calls for us to play the stuff, and we just couldn't play it. We couldn't play it, and finally. I think right. it was Big Wally was music director at the time, Brent Alberts, and he said, okay, we were getting enough requests for it. It's Sunday night. You know, let some people know.
That's very cool.
We got the master tape. I think Mark actually brought over the master yep. tape.
So, like, my favorite question to ever ask musicians is, do you remember where you were when you heard that, Mark, on the radio?
The first time I heard it, I was on 95.
Oh, wow. Appropriately enough. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
I think we all lived off 95 at some point.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? I recognized, like, you know, that it was unexpected.
Yeah.
Obviously. But I was like, oh, God. And then that's kind of creepy and weird. Like, wow, I feel connected to that, but I'm so disconnected.
I'll be 100% honest. Obviously, being an old rock and roll animal, 97 GTR rock and roll animal, I'm not going to take credit away from it, but I believe the first time it was ever played, One Hand on the Wheel, was Glenn's show on She.
On She. Yes.
In fact, that's true. Yes. That's true.
Make sure Glenn just gets credit for that.
Yes, absolutely, man. Glenn's the fucking man, yeah. without a doubt.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Belly so...
He was probably like gritting his teeth listening to that, going, "No, I played him first." No,
well, yeah, but you know what? True. He did play him first, and he could play them more because he played that stuff, and we didn't have a chance. Yep. We didn't really have a show to do that.
I was just more hung up on the "you didn't play a CD" thing on the world's first all compact disc radio station. So, which is funny because I remember one night when we first started, and we were saying that every other song was the world's first all compact disc radio station, rock and roll radio station, and I'm playing because it was. We couldn't get the CD in time. I was playing Never by Heart on a 12-inch vinyl single.
No way.
Right out of that sweeper, dude.
Really?
Right out of the sweeper.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
And when we had the temporary studio up top in the...
Oh, right.
Before the big studio was open.
Right, correct, yeah.
And it was, we didn't have the CD yet. We were getting the CD like 3 days later. They were like, Bill was like, it's okay, just play it.
That's one thing we promised ourselves if we ever got back in the same room together is that we would discuss re-recording.
Because it would be so much fun to do now.
Well, yeah. Oh, you know? Yeah.
And it'd be so quick.
You know, I just happen to be sitting in a recording studio right now.
Yeah, we could do that for you, man. If you guys come down, you could just bang out 3 songs in here, and I'll mix them up for you.
We can. I'm here to tell you, man, we could do them long distance, for God's sake, these days.
That's right.
Very true. Yeah. But there's something in all of us in our age group can kind of be grateful for the fact that we lived through all of that. We got to see, you know, analog tape, vinyl records into CDs, and now into this age, and we've now the Pro Tools age, now auto-tune, now electronic. We've seen both sides of it. So it gives us such more of an appreciation for what went on back then. And, you know, like you said, how much fun would it be to do one of those records now, you know?
I'm here to tell you. And remember the stuff we recorded early on that we decided we're not going to use any of that for this record. Probably would have translated better at that time.
Right.
But like I say, we were very pleased with the song themselves. And then we played them live. It's like, that's how they're supposed to sound. Why can't we get that sound?
Not to mention, Mark, when you go back and you think about all that, especially in mixing, everything cost money back then. Any effect you wanted on something cost money back then.
So it wasn't,
you know. And as good as you guys were doing, it wasn't like somebody had thrown a bunch of money at you to go into the studio and record. No. You guys did that on your own.
No, we did it all on our own. And in fact, we were recording it during the day and then playing at night. We were burning the candle hardcore. So, I mean, I understand. And that's why I listened to some of those performances going,
Right. If I had a good night's sleep the night before, this might have sounded a little different.
How good would that have been? Yeah. Hindsight is a beautiful thing.
Right on.
I'm looking forward to standing on stage with these four knuckleheads again.
It's going
to
be awesome, bro.
Playing those songs.
Cannot wait.
Looking forward to it.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us, man. We really had a complete episode here with you and Tommy, getting a look at it from two of the band's perspectives. I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys when you come down. Mike,
September 24th. It's going to be Race will be on. Actually, can you hit that again? Because I completely lost the track.
11:15 is 11:15.
Race goes on. Yep. Correct. Gypsy Queen's going to be on at 10 o'clock. Canaveral opening up before Gypsy Queen, Motor before that. So it's going to be one night of 80s into 90s memories like you could never reimagine ever again.
And also going on, John Wesley of Porcupine Tree with members of Auto Drive. We, we have Charlie Pickett and the Eggs, Phineas J. Whoopi, Heartless, Stranger, and a couple of all-star band jams, one each night, too, to round out the whole thing at Revolution Live. 100 Southwest 3rd Avenue, Fort Lauderdale, 33312. Get all the information at the Button South Class Reunion 5 Facebook page. Mark, anything else? Anybody else you want to give a shout out to?
And, yeah, Big Brother Band. Big Brother Band.
That's the band I play in now for the last 20 years.
Those guys are
killer.
Yeah. They're like what the Regs are to Fort Lauderdale, the Big Brother Band is to the West Coast.
Pretty much to the Bay Area.
When's the next time you guys are playing? Where?
We play Friday night at a place called Ricky T's up here. And then Saturday at the Hut in Johns Pass Village. And Sunday afternoon we go Sunday Fun Day. Out at St. Pete Beach.
Awesome.
You're the man. Thanks, Mark. And you can go check them out. If you're any of you are listening from the West Coast of Florida area, you can go check them out as well. And also make your way over here for the Button South Class Reunion September 23rd and 24th at Revolution Live in Fort Lauderdale. Thanks to everybody for getting involved with us in this special reunion show. Thanks to Darlene for putting it together as well. Keep up the great work, everybody, and we'll see you out there.
Cheers, guys.
Subscribe to the Bill Murphy Show podcast for free at iTunes. You can post comments about today's show, listen to archived episodes, and like the show on Facebook by visiting BillMurphyShow.com. A presentation of Bill Murphy Productions.